It's good to be in the house of the Lord here again this evening. We trust you had a restful Sunday afternoon. Thank our chorister, Brother Colin, for leading these songs. If you think about 10,000 angels and Christ and what he suffered on the cross, and he could have called those 10,000 angels, but because he didn't, we can sing 55 and say, hallelujah, what a Savior. He had the power to come down off that cross, set things right, and he loved us so much that he hung there and endured the cruel mockeries and the beatings and all that went with that, and he died alone, and we can say, hallelujah, what a Savior. What a wonderful thought. We're going to turn to the scripture on the card here this evening. The title is, Who Has Supreme Authority? Daniel chapter 7. Verses 1 to 28. I won't be able to find Daniel. There we are. Now we're in the right book. Daniel 7, 1 to 28. In the first year of Belteshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had an eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake into pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments were white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As considering the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, come with a cloud of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me known the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth, and tread it down, and break it into pieces. The ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it until the end. And the king and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hereunto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my congolations much troubled me, and the countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. What a scripture. As Daniel tries to explain what he is seeing in the vision. One consolation is, we may not understand completely what happens, but we know who the winner is. And praise the Lord, we can be on that side. Let's kneel for prayer.
Scripture tells us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, since God is our help, we will not fear. And I was reminded of the words as I was here, sitting here tonight, that I wanted to share with you from Acts 42 and 43 that speaks so well. It says, and God commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is Jesus which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To Jesus give all the prophets witness that through Jesus' name, whosoever believeth in Jesus shall receive remission of sins. What a blessing we have. What a joy. I too appreciate the songs you chose to sing tonight. They were very, very fitting, very encouraging, and very worshipful. I want to thank you for your fellowship throughout this week. You have been a great blessing to me. The joy of hearing you, your stories and how God is touching your life, how you're finding peace, how you're enjoying God's encouragement, miracles that were done, and it has been a rewarding week. I thank you, too, for your snacks we took home every night. They are a blessing. I told some people, I said, that was one thing I did not realize in preaching. My dad was a preacher, and I preached my first sermon. He never told me to expect this, but I still remember pulling out of the parking lot and heading home, and it's, let's go eat. I felt like I milked the cows, I unloaded the hay wagon. I was hungry. So thank you for blessing us in that way. Appreciated the fellowship we had today with different couples as we rested this afternoon and just enjoyed a good time together. And I thank you for some support from home tonight. May the Lord bless you for your travels here. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. Everybody wants me to open this up, and there's nothing in here. It's just an empty box. But there's air in here. Maybe it's the breath of God. God has breathed into the life of man his breath. We're different than animals. We need to know that, that we're not like an animal. We have the breath of God in us, and there's air in here that gives us life. We can't see what's in store, but we know what's in store is something we want to press on and receive. So I invite you to take your Bibles if you need them. I invite you to stand with me, and we'll say one more time, Romans 8, 24 and 25. We're going to say the reference, we're going to say the scripture, and we'll say the reference again. So here we go. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Romans 8, 24 and 25. I trust that that has been a blessing to you throughout this week as we meditated on that word hope, that maybe you feel discouraged or struggling with something in your life, but just allow the hope to come in, hope of Jesus Christ to come in, whatever that challenge may be. Maybe it's facing a test in school. Whatever is small, what might seem small, but you can place God's hope on top of it, and you can win the battle. I invite the song leader to come and lead us in Living Hope.
Let's do the first two verses, the chorus, third verse, and then the chorus. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness saw through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living could imagine so great a mercy. What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory. And bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my Lord.
There's salvation in that sweet name of Jesus. Salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray that he is your living hope. And again tonight, if he's not, it will be a great night to make that choice, to make Jesus Christ your living hope. The scripture tells us in Isaiah 42, God says, I am the Lord, and that is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else. I will not share my praise with carved idols. Everything I have prophesied has come true. And now I prophesy again. I will tell you the future before it happens. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing his praises from the end of the earth. Sing, all who sail the seas, all you who live in distant lands. I will tell you the future before it happens. Isaiah 41, 19 to 23 says, I'll plant trees, cedar, acacia, myrtle, olive, cypress, fir, and pine on barren land. Everyone will see this miracle and understand that it is the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, who did it. Can your idols make such claims as these? Let them come and show what they can do, says the Lord, the King of Israel. Let them try to tell us what happened long ago or what the future holds. Yes, that's it. If you are gods, tell what will occur in the days ahead or perform a mighty miracle that will fill us with amazement and fear. Do something, whether good or bad. Only God can cast the future before it happens. What's the purpose of prophecy? What are responses to prophecy? One is people scoff and say, I think Peter writes that things have been going on like this forever. Nothing's ever going to change. But that's not true. Things have not been going on forever just the same. God is moving. Things are happening. Watch and see what the Lord is doing. Another purpose of prophecy, another response to prophecy is search. You know, watch what's happening. Pay attention to the news. Maybe it's just me. I find it interesting to, you know, what are they doing now? What's going on? Especially in Israel. That's the place. That's God's home. I maybe just tell you a fun story that was really a blessing to me when we were there in Israel. We had spent some time in Galilee, like 3 days or so, and then we were coming into Jerusalem, and our tour guide was watching his watch, and he wanted us to make sure when we came up around the hill and could look across the dome of the rock, we could see the sun setting just right with the gold dome, and he hit it. But as I was coming up that hill, I was just like, Father God, I'm coming back to the place where you gave your life for me. This is where it took place. This is where he gave his life for me. Maybe I'm just so sentimental that it works that way for me. But that was just so special as we came into Jerusalem. This is where Jesus gave his life. This is the very place. And I have the privilege to be here. So don't scoff, but search. Search and pay attention to what's going on. Allow prophecy to strengthen you, to know that you are on the right path. You are following what is correct. You're all sold out because of what you see God has prophesied and what is happening. And another response is to find salvation. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at his prophecies, but test everything that is said and hold on to what is good. I even forget what stories I told you. I'm not sure if I used this one before here tonight, this week or not, so it's okay if I did. About a year ago, we toured California, toured the West, saw some of those big redwood trees, and all kinds of big trees out there, and we got to see the Pacific Ocean for the first time. And we toured San Francisco one day, and we were a little apprehensive because they told us that it's pretty dangerous there. I parked my car in the parking lot, and the guy said, you know, just this morning I saw people rip off a car. It's like, well, you know, I guess it's in God's hand. I'm not quite sure what I thought. We trusted in broad daylight. And I remember one time, just after we soon got out of the car, I seen a whole, maybe half a dozen guys just ripping through the crowd. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that's if those who the guys are. But anyhow, we spent some time on the bay, got to see some beautiful sunset. And then we went into the San Francisco city and we took a ride on a cable car. And it's a cable car with a cable in the ground. The cable runs a circle underneath the road about a foot, foot and a half below the surface. It was high-tech transportation back in the late 1800s that they still have in operation for tourists, and even the locals use it for transportation. And it's just a, you go out one way and you come back again. And when it gets to the end, the four or five guys get it on a circle and they spin it around and get it ready to go just like they would have done. And so we get on that thing, and whenever we would take off at this high rate of speed of 9 miles an hour, and the guy would grab the lever and grab a hold of that cable, and he'd go, hold on, hold on. And I don't, my wife still thinks it's funny that I like that, but I'll just, hold on. And then we stop at the next intersection, hold on. I don't know if that was tradition or not, or if that was just him, but hold on. God asks us to hold on to what is good. Do not scoff the prophecies. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said to his disciples, he pointed out to him the various temple buildings there, and he told them, do you see all these buildings? I assure you, they will be so completely destroyed that not one stone will be left on top of another. And in AD 70, that took place. Not one stone left on top of another. Time will come when you will see that Daniel the prophet, what Daniel the prophet spoke about the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place. In the holy place. And then I think the person that was recording this, I'm not sure if this is actually in the text or not, but the black lettering says here, reader, pay attention. Reader, pay attention. Could have been the writer that was actually penning. I'm not sure. I didn't need to do any. That's something for you to search out. But reader, pay attention. We are to stay alert. We are to watch and pray and make sure we are ready when that trumpet sounds. He says in Mark 13, now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When it buds, become tender, and its leaves begin to sprout, you know without being told that summer is near. And we here in the privilege of four seasons, we get to see that change. We see the grass start turning green. We see the trees start budding. We know we're coming for summer. And we know we're hitting fall when the leaves start falling and the colors change. God is saying here, watch. You can see when things are changing. Just so when you see the events I've described beginning to happen, you can be sure that his return is very near, right at the door. I assure you, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these events have taken place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will remain forever. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Jesus Christ doesn't even know. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when they will happen, stay alert. Keep watch. Keep the glasses clean. Pay attention and be ready. Be a watchman that announces to those around you, hey, did you see this? Did you notice that? I wonder if Jesus is coming. You know, the world knows that Christ is coming. What happens when we have a catastrophic event? Maybe it's the apocalypse. It goes across the news. It amazes me every time that something happens. Maybe Christ is returning. People know it. But let's help them along and to know that how they can be ready. The coming of the Son of Man can be compared with that of a man who left home to go on a trip. He gave each of his employees instructions about the work they were to do. And he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. So keep a sharp lookout, for you do not know when the homeowner will return at evening, midday, early dawn, or late daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch for his return. Again, why do we study prophecy? It's to increase our faith. Look at how God spoke in the Old Testament. He told Abraham, you're going to go, your people are going to go to a land where they'll be in prison, they'll be slaves. And then 400 years later, they're going to come out. And God hit it right on the day. I mean, he had it on the schedule. He had it on his calendar. He looked, okay, I need to get Moses going. I need to get him out of Egypt. I need to take him to the shepherd place. And then I need to get the... He was right on time. They left on the exact day. You know, if God did it then, let us not fear that he can't do it again. He is going to come just as he had it planned. Let us fear not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You search the scriptures because you believe they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Let's take our Bibles and find Daniel 7. Maybe you're still there. And let's look at that scripture here a little this evening. It starts out, the first verse gives us the time when Daniel saw this vision. He says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. In the first year of Belshazzar. So maybe just Daniel 1 to 6 is the life and experiences of Daniel. And his dreams are Daniel 7 to, I don't even know how many chapters, I'll tell you in a moment, 12, from 7 to 12. So what we're seeing here in his dream, Daniel 6, when he was thrown into the lion's den, was with King Darius. And when the writing on the wall was, that was Belshazzar, this king. So we're here, it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. So it's something like after chapter 4, between chapter 4 and 5. So that's kind of interesting to note, because you think, well, Daniel lived his life and he was about to die and he started having his dreams. But no, they were mixed in even as he was still had the den of lions in front of him. Maybe some, according to, I'm not sure who this is, John Woolford commentary. Daniel's dream predated by 14 years his experience in the lion's den. And again, that's plus or minus a little. When the dream came to Daniel, he was about 68 years of age, for he was taken captive. Again, if you use 16, we know that it's 605 BC, so we can kind of map it out there. And we know when Belshazzar became king. So we're in the first year of Belshazzar, and it's before the writing on the wall, before the lion's den, just for fun. I don't know that doesn't change the message, but just helps to set it in where we are in the life of Daniel. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of the heaven strove upon the sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The great sea is the Mediterranean Sea. And I went and looked at a map. I mean, maybe if you want to, if you have a map in your Bible, you could look at it there. And it's just for interesting today. So I think some of Daniel's vision is still in front of us. I'm not a prophecy writer by any stretch of the imagination, but we still haven't had Christ return and take over the world. So some of it's definitely in front of us. And I looked at the countries around the Mediterranean Sea, and if we'd start, I mean, I looked that whole body of water. I don't even know if that's the whole thing in there, but I just put it all together anyhow. If you start in the south on the bottom left, as you look at the map, Morocco, then you have Algeria and another small country, Libya, Egypt, coming up along the east side of the Mediterranean. You have Israel, Syria, Turkey. And now we're coming along the north side, Greece, Italy, France, Spain, and Portugal are the countries that border that sea today. So I just think that might be something to pay attention to what is happening in those countries and those nearby as we listen and watch for Christ's return. The four beasts, lion, the bear, the leopard, the fourth beast was more dreadful. 10 horns, and then a small horn rooted out 3 of the horns to make room for the one small horn. The lion pretty commonly believed that that was Babylon. Kind of matches the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. The next one was what took over Babylon in chapter 5. The Medes and the Persians. Talks about the bear being on his one side, eating three ribs. I don't have quite those details in. I mean, there's variations in opinion. The leopard is Greece. And when Alexander the Great took over, and it was also divided into four kingdoms. And I think that fits some of the picture of that of the leopard. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So maybe that would give the picture of the reason there was the Greek kingdom got divided up into four. And then following that, we have the last beast. Was more dreadful. The fourth beast, verse 7, was dreadful, terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns, plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So we had the Roman Empire definitely come in. And, you know, that's 2,000 years ago when Rome definitely had a stronghold on the earth. And, you know, later years, maybe up to 400 or 500. And even up to 1500 when the Anabaptists started and we had the Reformation. Rome, that came out of the Roman era. So are we still under Rome? You can think about that and search that out. It doesn't really matter what we're under, because we're looking tonight at how things end and how God brings everything into subjection. But as I thought about, is Rome still, just meditating on that thought, the power of the Pope, you know, the voice of the Pope is still a voice that people listen to. And so is that where things are at? I'll let you do your research on that. Part of my hope for prophecy is to cause you to search and to find out what may be taking place. You know, the opinions on prophecy have changed as the shape of earth, of the kingdoms on the earth change. And I remember in school, when I was in high school, which is 40 years ago plus, and we had a speaker come in, and he gave us a big rundown of how communism was moving into South America and Central America, and they were sure Russia was going to come up and attack United States from the south. I don't know if that's on the prophecy writers' hearts today. Daniel says, I've seen all them. We look at verse 9. He says, I behold, till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. So he saw some thrones coming down out of heaven, and it was a fiery throne. It talks about wheels as a burning fire. The Ancient of Days that did sit upon that throne, I believe, is God the Father. God the Father came down and sat on the throne, wherever that judgment is. At least that's the picture. I don't know if it's here on earth, however that plays out. The Ancient of Days is God the Father. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and there was thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. And I beheld them there. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. And I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. So what Daniel is saying here, the fourth beast was destroyed, done away with, even that extra horn that came out. But the other three still stayed on for a season and a time. So Babylon, Greek, and Media and Persia were still here. Verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's a great verse. You know, we might be worried about how things are happening today, but take note, the Son of Man, and that's Jesus Christ. 80 times in the Gospels, the words the Son of Man is used, referring to Jesus Christ himself. So we believe that word there is also speaking of Jesus Christ came with the clouds of heaven, and he came down and took over the kingdoms. His kingdom is everlasting, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So then Daniel was grieved in his heart, and he came near and stood by and asked this person, one of them. He says, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. The beasts were four kingdoms, as we talked about. So I have you told, I have my notes here, get on the edge of your seat. Maybe you need to lean front a little bit. The drum roll. Because he says in verse 17, says, these four great beasts, which are four, and are four kings, which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. How long's that? It's forever. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding Jephthah, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up and before, whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld in that same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. At that time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. Have you ever been on a trip and asked, are we there yet? No one knows the day or the hour, but when we see the green leaves, we know the summer is near. You know, we don't know the time. We can stand back and wonder what may be taking place. But let's just focus again on until the Ancient One came and judged in favor of the holy people of the Most High. Verse 22, I think, is another key for us. That's where the time came. I just like to point out that there's a schedule. God has a plan. He's just not thinking like I do. Sometimes I just wing it, or it feels that way. You know, we'll get up and we'll figure out what to do. But he has a plan, and it's on a schedule. Let us rise up and stand up for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's hold on to eternal life and not be swayed about by things that may concern us. I did a Google search on wondering, you know, the Ten Kingdoms kind of, it's like, was there any group of ten that's forming? Can we tell anything? And I just came upon a survey that divided the top ten kingdoms of today's world according to their firepower in military strength. So however they measured that, this is a list that fit that, measured their criterias. United States, Russia, and China, India, South Korea, United Kingdom, Japan, Turkey, Pakistan, and Italy. And U.S., Russia, and China were almost like a tie according to their measurements. I just thought that was, you know, a fun thing to do, see if you can learn anything. And prophecy is supposed to cause us to search. But jumping back to verse 23, then he said to me, the fourth beast is the fourth world power that will rule the earth. It will be different from all the others. It will devour the whole world. trampling everything in its path. It's 10 horns or 10 kings that will rule that empire. And then another king will arise different from the other 10, who will subdue 3 of them. Again, maybe that's something to watch out for. You know, if you see a kingdom rising out and destroying a kingdom we have today, that might be a signal of where we are at. He will defy the Most High and wear down the holy people of the Most High. He will try to change their sacred festivals and laws. I don't know if that's just in Israel or if that's worldwide. And it made me think of the concern of global warming. That's just what popped into my head. I'll let you, just a thought that came to me as far as trying to change seasons and sacred laws. They will be placed under his control for a time, times, and half a time. And I wanted to run this by my wife, but I don't, maybe you, when you give birth to a baby just before the arrival time, I think is the intense travail of pain. Am I right on that, Marianne? It's been some time since we had the opportunity. I guess 15 years ago, had the experience of experiencing a birth in our home. It feels to me like the world is at that moment when it's about to give birth, when we're about to jump into glory. Let's look at verse 26. It says, the judgment shall sit. There's going to be a court. Maybe just hit 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, talking about that horn, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. I read that before, but just to preface this here, they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and dividing the time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. You know, at the last moment, there's going to be a lot of going on against Jesus Christ and his kingdom. But again, God has a time, and he is going to give his rule to Jesus Christ. Hold on to what is good. Hold on to what is good. The 10 characteristics of the little horn. He's small. He comes from the 10 horns. He kicks out 3 horns. He has eyes and a mouth speaking great. He speaks out against the Most High. He rises after the 4th kingdom, after the 10 horns. He's different from the other horns. He persecutes the saints. He intends to make alterations in times and law. And the saints are given into his hand for a time, times, and a half a time. 3.5 years. I'm one of the, maybe if you go back to Revelation 4 and 5, the break from Revelation 2 and 3 to 4 and 5, we don't have the church. Seems like the church would have left as we head into tribulation time, we head into judgment. Again, that if I have to pick, that's how I pick. But I'm always the one that believes in God knows what he's doing, and it's going to all work out however it happens. You know, maybe we don't need to die over whether we're here before the tribulation or we're in the middle of the tribulation or we're here afterwards. We don't need to die over something like that because it's in God's hands. What really matters is if we know him. Again, that's what I believe. And again, I don't feel it really matters because it doesn't change whether I'm saved or unsaved, whether I have that right or you have it right. I was intrigued. Right now for our family devotions, we're in Leviticus, and we read a chapter a day for our family devotions, slowly work our way through the Bible. We've done it a few times, and we were reading here in Leviticus 18, and these words brought to mind from Leviticus 18:19. He says, do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, unlawful marriages, immorality. Don't defile yourself like the people in the land that I'm giving to you. He says, because this is how the people I am expelling from the promised land have defiled themselves. As a result, the entire land has become defiled. That is why I am punishing the people who live there. The land will soon vomit them out. You must strictly obey all my laws and regulations. You must not do any of these detestable things. This applies both to you who are Israelites by birth and to the foreigners living among you. And then verse 30 says, so be careful to obey all my laws. Do not practice any of these detestable things. Do not defile yourselves by doing them, for I, the Lord, am your God. The Antichrist will lose. The voice of the Antichrist is immorality. And I stop and think about the cry of our country today. It would seem like God would have to vomit, that he can't stand it any longer. And the more I think about it, I see the world coming together under that same kind of Antichrist umbrella. And I wonder if we are not close to when God will vomit out the earth, or when he will pull us out and then vomit the earth. Again, verse 27 of Daniel 7 says, then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people, the Most High. They will rule forever, and all rulers will serve and obey them. Those who do not know or have the living hope of Jesus Christ will be, like Jesus said in Matthew 22:13, the king said to his aides, bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But those who have the living hope will hear the words of Jesus, which the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Tonight, again, we have that opportunity to make sure we have that living hope. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are saved according to Scripture. So don't let the devil put doubts in your life. But if you don't have that hope, you don't have that confident expectation, we want to give an opportunity again this evening. Let's pause for prayer. Father God, again, I thank you for this opportunity to look at Daniel 7 and see the vision that was before your eyes that grieved your heart and gave your heart's desire. What is this? What is happening? And Lord, it seems like you explained it to us in some detail, and yet, Lord, our hearts still can't quite figure out exactly what is ahead of us. But what we do know, Lord, is that you will reign, that you will bring victory upon this land, that you will take care of your saints, your loved ones. So, Lord, again tonight, I ask you to search each of our hearts. Lord, help us to listen to your voice this evening. Those who are here tonight that don't have that living hope, Lord, I just pray that you won't let them rest until they can make that decision. Tonight, I would ask you to give them the courage to stand up and say, yes, I want your living hope. And Lord, if you have spoken to others who have things they want to let here tonight, they don't want to take them home, they want you to come in and do a work in their life, in the life of their community, I pray that you might give them courage to surrender whatever you have been speaking to them. Lord, we want to give you all the honor and praise. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So tonight's the best night to give your heart to the Lord. If you don't have that living hope, I invite you to stand as we sing. And if God has spoken something into your heart tonight that you need to let hear, I would invite you to stand and do that as well. It is a great way to find peace in your heart. What shall we sing? 726 in the black book. If God has spoken to you, I invite you to respond. 726.